From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up once again, Facebook's pattern of censorship has drawn the attention of Washington. Yesterday, four U.S. senators, led by Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, sent a letter to Mark Zuckerberg raising alarm over Facebook's bias fact checkers. Facebook, their so-called fact checkers, who have been labeling certain pro-life messages as false, have ties to the abortion industry. Surprise, surprise. Also, the Trump administration reached a judicial nominee milestone yesterday when the Senate confirmed the 150th judicial nominee. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley joins us with more on both of these stories in just a moment. And the federal deficit is skyrocketing. The national debt is now over $22 trillion and growing. What does that mean for America's future? Well, the chairman of the Republican Study Committee, our good friend Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana, is here with the answer. And more, while many are silent out of fear, we're beginning to see parents, pastors, and others stand up in defense of children who are being targeted by the pernicious efforts of those sowing seeds of sexual confusion. One of those pastors, Amado Weiser, from South Bay Pentecostal Church in Chula Vista, California, joins me a little bit later. Also, our good friend Todd Starnes at FoxNews.com is out with a timely book, Cultural Jihad. Todd joins us about his book, as well as today's news out of Duke University, where Young Life was booted off campus as Exhibit A in the left's jihad. The website, TonyPerkins.com, and until I'm deplatformed, it's at T. Perkins on Twitter. All right, let me remind you, coming up October the 10th through the 13th is the Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C. You can find out all about it and how you can be a part of it at TonyPerkins.com. All right, yesterday, four Republican senators sent a letter to Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg criticizing the social media's, their platform's recent fact check, and I have that in quotes, of pro-life organization Live Action. That's Lila Rose. In the letter, Senators Josh Hawley of Missouri, Ted Cruz of Texas, Kevin Cramer of North Dakota, and Mike Braun of Indiana condemn what they call Facebook's pattern of censorship and call on the group to submit to an external audit. Joining me now to talk about this letter is Senator Josh Hawley, who led the effort. He serves on the Judiciary Committee, the Armed Services Committee, the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, and we're thankful to have him back on the program. Senator, welcome back.
Tony, thanks for having me.
All right. So this controversy kind of born out of the fact that Live Action put up a couple of videos that was shared by Lila Rose. One featured Dr. Kendra Kolb, a board-certified neonatologist. Both claiming, putting facts out there that abortion is not medically necessary. Facebook labeled that false and shut down the videos.
You know, and here's the thing that's extraordinary about it, Tony. They label it false, they shut them down, and then it turns out that the supposedly neutral fact-checking organization that Facebook has relied upon and has helped stand up, that for this fact-check, it included pro-abortion activists, activists that have gone after pro-lifers in the past who sought to shut down pro-life speech. So it wasn't neutral at all. This was just another example of Facebook using its extraordinary power to try to silence a pro-life group. And that's why I sent a letter and was delighted that Senator Cruz and Ivana Kramer joined me in this and said, this is just not acceptable. It's not acceptable to censor pro-lifers. It's not acceptable to censor people of faith. And it's time Facebook not only stopped, but opened up their books to an independent third-party audit to prove that they're not censoring.
Well, you in your letter, you lay out the fact that there is this pattern that is growing longer and longer by the day. But news earlier today, you did get a response from Mr. Zuckerberg.
Yeah, in fact, Facebook reached out to us yesterday evening, not long after we sent the letter, and admitted that there was a problem, admitted that they had been wrong to include these pro-abortion activists in the review. They said they were going to remove the censorship from Live Action. So in other words, restore the videos, take down the the false alert that they had slapped on to Live Action's pages. They said that they would do that and that they would commence a review of how it ended up that these abortion activists got onto this supposedly neutral panel. To which I said, that's all great, and Facebook has begun to do those things, and they still haven't fully restored Live Action to complete good standing. They still haven't notified all of the Live Action followers that their earlier censorship and their false rating was itself false. So Facebook needs to do more here and follow through. But here's the bigger thing, Tony. This is a pattern. I mean, we've seen this over and over and over from Facebook, from Google. It's time that these companies, Facebook being number one, it's time these companies submitted to an independent audit. They need to open their books, quit stonewalling, quit misdirecting, and quit asking us to trust them. Well, I mean, they're less trustworthy companies in America than these companies.
Well, Senator, it's interesting because in your letter, you point out that you list all of these different incidents that occurred, and then you say that, well, when they were caught, they said, well, it was a mistake. Shouldn't have happened. It was a mistake. Well, that's part of the pattern, is doing it until you get caught. And once you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, then you ask for, oh, I was sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But how many organizations, individuals out there who are being censored have the ability to have a couple of senators weigh in for them and challenge Facebook? I mean, this is a huge problem, and I think the only solution, as you point out, is to open the books, allow for an independent audit. But I also think they need to be held accountable. And the protections they've had under the law, as you've proposed before, may need to go away so that there is truly a level playing field.
Well, and what they get under the law that you're referring to, Tony, is they get special protections that other companies and certainly media companies don't get. I mean, Facebook gets a special immunity from suit, immunity from accountability, really. So groups like Live Action, they can't sue Facebook under the law. They can't pursue any kind of remedy under the law because Facebook is immune. That's because of the federal government. The federal government has given them this special deal. It's worth billions of dollars to Facebook. I mean, it's a massive subsidy from the American taxpayer. And that's why I say if Facebook is going to censor, if they're going to discriminate, why are we being forced to subsidize it? Why are we being forced to protect them with the power of the law and taxpayer money? That needs to stop.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, my guest, talking about Facebook once again caught censoring pro-life conservative speech. Now, in your communication with Facebook, Senator, any suggestion that they might be open to that independent audit of how they're conducting business?
No, I think, you know, this is, they're so afraid of it, Tony, it's really telling. I mean, they are willing to say, oh, oops, we made a mistake, promise to fix it, as you know, it's a pattern, as we pointed out, as you've referenced. But when you say, okay, listen, why don't you prove it? Why don't you prove your good faith? And by the way, Facebook has been up to testify in front of me, in front of the Senate, and they say things like, we never discriminate on the basis of religious views. We never discriminate on the basis of political views. So when you say to them, okay, prove it, just open your books, submit to an outside audit, they just shut down. And so I think it shows you that they do have something to hide, that they don't want to be accountable, that they don't want to be transparent. And so I'm afraid, as you point out, think about the little churches, think about the little ministries that are getting discriminated against, whose voices are being silenced, that we never know about.
Right.
And the thought that Facebook might be able to get away with it, this is why there has to be change.
Right. Absolutely. And I think it's what we're seeing, as you said, a pattern, not just with Facebook, but with the other social media giants. We're seeing this effort. I mean, we're seeing it. We're seeing this firsthand. So I'm speaking not in the universal we. I'm talking about the we right here at the Family Research Council. We're seeing how they're changing algorithms. They're trying to choke off the communication of conservatives with the broader social media community. And I think the closer we get to the election, the more they're going to try to choke it down because they know so many conservatives have used social media to do an in run around the media that has been at really an enemy of conservative message for years, and now they're joining in that effort.
And here's the thing that's really scary, Tony, is that more and more of our communication with each other happens over social media, and then more and more Americans get their news through social media. So these companies, just a couple companies, really two or three, really now control the flow of news and information to the public, and they control our social communication. So the idea that they would be actively censoring, I mean, it means pretty soon, if we're not careful, we're not going to have access to the public square. We're not going to have access to our fellow Americans to talk and get our message out and exchange ideas. That's a big problem.
Yeah, and as you pointed out, I mean, the media, the traditional media is bad, but social media does, as you said, have special rights and privileges, so there's very little recourse there. So it could be even worse as all of that communication switches over to the social media platforms. Senator, before we run out of time, I got to get to another very positive story that needs to be told because the media is not going to want to tell it. And that is, yesterday, six district court nominees were confirmed, bringing the president's total number of appointed judges to the lower federal courts to 105. 43 circuit court nominees have been confirmed, and two Supreme Court justices. The chairman of the committee that you serve on, Lindsey Graham, says that is a historic milestone.
It's an amazing number, 150 judges in just 3 years, less than 3 years. It's really, really extraordinary. It's a testament to this administration. President Trump took a pledge. He said, I'm going to nominate conservative, pro-Constitution, pro-life judges to the bench, and he's done exactly that, and they have sent up quality nominees to the United States Senate. And I just think it's going to be one of this president's most lasting legacies. And there's still a lot of work to do, Tony. There are still almost 100 open seats on the federal courts at all levels. That's a bunch of seats. That's a bunch of judges. We need to fill those with pro-Constitution men and women.
And given the history of what the courts have been used for by the left, I mean, this is so significant, and it has generational impact.
This is something that will matter for America, for our country, for not just the next 2 or 3 years, but for the next 30 and 40 and 50. I mean, President Trump is going to have the chance to appoint something like a quarter or a third of the entire federal judiciary. And we have to have, I mean, look, the judges in our country are extremely powerful. I mean, we're really, if you look around the world, we're kind of an anomaly. Judges in our country have more power, for better or for worse, than in a lot of other places. So who sits on the bench for those lifetime appointments? Who makes decisions about what our Constitution means and how it's interpreted? That really, really matters. And so these are big decisions. The president's doing a great job, and he needs partners in the Senate. He needs the Senate to step up and to do their job and to support him in getting good nominees on the bench and to keep it going.
Well, and you're doing your part. We see that and appreciate it. Senator, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. And, again, thanks for your leadership on so many important issues.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch. Mike Johnson, congressman from Louisiana, joins us next here on Washington Watch.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Are you concerned with the state of our nation? Do you want to protect and promote religious freedom, the sanctity of life, free speech, and our children's educations? Today we see a growing threat against our values on the news, on our college campuses, in our elementary schools, at our public libraries, and in our courts. Every year in Washington, D.C., thousands of conservatives attend FRC Action's Values Voters Summit. From October 11th to the 13th, come to our nation's capital to mingle with and hear from key conservatives who are bringing real change to Washington, D.C., and learn how you can too. FRC President Tony Perkins will be there, along with Ali Stuckey, Bill Bennett, Dana Lash, Oliver North, and U.S. House and Senate leaders. The 2020 elections are right around the corner, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. We provide free scholarships for students. Register online at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
Are you looking for timely and honest coverage of the latest news? Do you find it difficult to sort out what is true and what is false from the media? Family Research Council is here to help. FRC President Tony Perkins' daily Washington Update email newsletter addresses the most important current events affecting religious freedom, the protection of life, marriage and family, and more, not only in Washington, but around the world. The Washington Update's daily articles cover a range of topics, from underreported stories about transgender activists' efforts to infiltrate our schools to updates on court cases fighting for religious freedom, parental rights, and the protection of life. Don't miss this critical, in-depth analysis of the day's most essential stories that are shaping our nation's future. Learn more and subscribe by visiting frc.org/update. Again, that's frc.org/update.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter and haven't been deplatformed yet, it's at T Perkins. All right. Yesterday, we had Congresswoman Debbie Lesko from Arizona on talking about the late night edition of the Judiciary Committee in the House, where they were targeting guns, but not just the Second Amendment, going after the First Amendment, too, with their disarm hate bill. And a lot to be said for that. We got to keep our eye on that. But there's other issues happening. One is, and this is one that, you know, Republicans don't really pay, or nobody really pays attention to, certainly Democrats, but Republicans don't pay as much attention to it as they should. And that is the skyrocketing federal deficit. Eventually, this catches up. And when it does, it'll be too late to do anything about it. Well, the Republican Study Committee, which is the largest conservative caucus in the House, Republicans, a leading influencer, thought generator, is working on addressing this issue, keeping it at the forefront. And joining me now to talk about that is the chairman of the Republican Study Committee, a good friend of ours, Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana. Mike, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, great to be with you, and I'm sorry about the background noise. We just left the floor for a series of votes, and there's lots of commotion around me, but I'm trying to listen in, and it's a very, very important issue, and I'm glad you're highlighting that again because, you know, as conservatives and fiscal conservatives, those who advocate for fiscal responsibility, this is a big thing, and it should be a big thing to everybody in this country. Our debt is just smothering the country. It's this looming crisis. We're at $22.5 trillion in debt. It's an amount that's hard to even imagine to articulate the size of it. And then now we've effectively committed to deficit spending in perpetuity, meaning that we spend more than we take in. The government cannot do this forever. At some point, there will be a day of reckoning, and that's what concerns all of us so much.
Now, let me put this out here, because some are going to, you know, immediately point the finger to the White House. And the president, his administration, to their defense, Russ Vought over at OMB, Mick Mulvaney before that, who's now chief of staff, have put forth some of the best budgets in years, zeroing out some of the more controversial federal agencies, Endowment of the Arts, and some of these crazy wacko things, only to find their way to Congress to be put back in. And Congress is ultimately the one that builds the budget that they send up to the White House.
That is precisely correct. And Mick and Russ and some of those others have been longtime champions of fiscal responsibility and fiscal restraint. But those voices are overshadowed by others, and the ideas are trampled upon by the Pelosi-led House, the Congress. And there's a lot of blame to go around for this, but it's a very serious problem. The White House, as you said, Tony, this year, they sent over more than $500 billion of proposed cuts in federal spending. And those proposals were completely ignored by the Democrat-led House, those responsible for putting the ultimate budget together. Of course, Pelosi failed in that responsibility. They did not produce an actual budget, because she could not get the radical left fringe of her party on board with it. They wanted to spend more than she did, if you can imagine that. And so what was cobbled together in the last moments before Congress took off for the August district work period, the August recess, was a terrible budget deal that was bad for the country and bad for everyone involved. And so 138 members of Congress in the House voted against that. All the fiscal conservatives did, and we sent an important message. But we have a lot more work to be done, because this kind of spending without restraint is getting us into real trouble on the world stage.
I mean, and you think about it, most people don't really analyze this very closely, but the larger the debt, the more burden it is on the economy. And you consider how the president and his policies have grown our economy. Just think if that debt were at a more manageable number and the deficit lower, that the economy would be doing even better.
There's no question about it. And the debt is looming, and it is becoming a greater problem. We could have record economic growth right now, record growth in GDP every year, except that this debt is holding us down. And now here's the thing that keeps many of us up at night, Tony, and you know this, we've talked about it before, but you know, if you look at the analysts and what they're projecting for the near future for this country, it is very bleak. The Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, is the nonpartisan, supposedly objective group that basically does the math on Capitol Hill. They evaluate bills for their fiscal impact, and they look at the budget and all these issues constantly. They projected that in just a matter of 12 to 15 years, somewhere in that time frame, we are going to – the top four expenditures of the federal government – on an annual basis, are going to eclipse GDP. What that means is, once the federal government takes all the tax revenue in, all of the income that the government takes in, and once they pay for Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and interest on this ballooning debt, there will not be $1 left, even for national priorities such as the Department of Defense, okay, which is a constitutionally mandated responsibility of the federal government. So you can't wait. If this whole balloon bursts in 12 to 15 years, as you said at the outset of the program here, your remarks, we can't wait 2 years or 4 years or 6 years to fix that problem.
It's too late.
We needed to start this two decades ago.
Right, right.
And that clock is ticking every day, and you have politicians in Washington who are completely unwilling to acknowledge it, but for two reasons. One, because they lack the political courage. It's comfortable to talk about major reforms with these ideas in these areas. But number two, because you have a new influx of members, the radical socialist kind of wing of the Democrat Party, and they subscribe to what they call modern monetary theory. The madness of this is that they say, this is our new theory that debt doesn't matter, deficits don't matter,
right.
Inflation is not a real concern. And literally, they argue, the government can just print more money in perpetuity to take care of all these obligations.
Yeah.
It's madness. But that's what we're arguing against today.
Well, Mike, we're out of time, but I actually want to... I'm going to take, at some point in the near future, and dedicate a good portion of a program just to explain this situation and the proposal that the Republican Study Committee has put forward to reduce spending by $12.6 trillion over the next 10 years. It's vital to the security and stability of our country going forward. So, Mike, thanks so much for joining us. As always, great to have you on the program.
Thanks, brother. Keep up the great work.
All right, Congressman Mike Johnson, chairman of the Republican Study Committee. This is one of those things. It's not as news flashy, but it's important. And we're going to talk more about it in the future. All right, don't go away. When we come back, a pastor from California standing up, speaking up.
Did you know that Planned Parenthood was using taxpayer dollars to perform abortions? Recently, the Trump administration made changes to a healthcare policy called Title 10. The changes to this policy now eliminate the loopholes organizations like Planned Parenthood were using to receive taxpayer funding for abortions. Planned Parenthood was hiding behind terms like reproductive health care and services like cancer screenings and contraception distribution, while in reality, they were making money off of abortions. This shift in funding will benefit community health centers that provide needy families with family planning resources and health services, regardless of their ability to pay. It will also benefit pregnancy resource centers that provide care and free resources to women who may be experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. This policy decision is the right move to help and protect American lives. To learn more, visit frc.org/Title 10. That's frc.org/Title 10.
Hi, my name is Bailey. I am serving as an intern at Family Research Council, and it has been a life-changing experience. Interns join FRC's team of experts as they embark upon the mission of advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a biblical worldview. The FRC internship is a 12 to 15 week program designed to educate and inspire university students who are passionate about public service and who believe that a biblical worldview is fundamental to the reformation of government and culture. As interns, we receive the opportunity to work alongside and be personally and professionally developed by FRC's team of experts. This paid internship offers free housing in the heart of DC, which allows us to be fully immersed in the fast-paced political climate and to build a community with other faithful conservatives in our nation's capital. For more information and to apply, visit frc.org/internships. That's frc.org/internships.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, well, while many remain silent out of fear of the often vicious attacks that the left can bring on when people stand up, more and more, we are seeing parents, pastors, and others standing up and saying enough is enough. And they're standing up to defend children from the pernicious efforts designed to sow seeds of sexual confusion and chaos in the minds of our children. And one of those pastors is Amado Huizar, pastor of South Bay Pentecostal Church of Chula Vista in California. He, along with others, spoke out in an effort to stop the Chula Vista Public Library from sponsoring an event where drag queens read to children. And he joins us now. Pastor Huizar, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me today.
Well, first off, I want to thank you as a pastor for speaking out. Now, I understand you're a father of five small children between the ages of 11 and 2, so this is obviously very personal for you. But as a pastor of a church, I sense from your comments that I've read in the press that you, as a pastor, feel you have an obligation to speak out and defend the children beyond the walls of your church and beyond the walls of your home to the entire community.
Absolutely. I am a father for not five, but five. I don't know. I'm never prepared for that. But yes, as
well,
a,
I'm not going to say that was a prophetic word, but you know.
Well, I'll have to have my wife involved in that, I guess, and see if she accepts that word. But I come as a father first and foremost. That's my first calling before my vocation as a pastor or any other vocation that you may have. I come as a father to stand up and voice out the opposition of the Drag Queen Story Hour. I felt that as a father and as a community leader and part of the faith community, that we as the faith community have to have a voice. And for much time now, the church community, the faith community has been silenced, have decided just to stay away. And they believe the myth of separation of church and state when, in fact, our country was founded on the word of God. And at the city council meeting this past Tuesday, we all stood and pledged allegiance, one nation under God. And so I decided that I, along with Bishop Art Hodges, we decided to come together and voice our concerns regarding the Dry Queen Story Hour.
Now, before I get into the what happened after you spoke out, again, the motivation, your concern about the Drag Queen Story Hour and what it is doing to our children.
Well, first and foremost, it seems to have become a fad amongst people in cities that are having this Drag Queen Story Hour. And never did we think it would come to Chula Vista, which is a suburb of San Diego, the second largest city in San Diego with 270,000 people. And it seemed to have just come in and slip by on the agenda and the calendar items that the library posted. And two moms that homeschool their kids that frequent the library that it was originally supposed to happen saw that this agenda item, and then they were looking for help to help fight this and see where did this come from and why was it pushed through and who approved it and who has the power to at least cancel or postpone it. And so what happened is that I'm part of Salt and Light Council, and they're nationwide, and I'm thankful for Salt and Light. They gave these two moms some information and resources to reach out to help get more information regarding this. And they got some information, and they were put into contact with an agency that I'm not a part of, nor do I endorse, but they got in contact with Mass Resistance. And so they gave the information and shared what they'd done to help combat that. And they came and decided to do their own protesting. However, once we received information from them, we decided as a faith community to break off and do it a different way, peacefully. And our message is this: it's not age appropriate. These are kids ages 3 to 8. It's not location appropriate. This is a public venue, and it's not messenger appropriate. There's no reason why a drag queen should be reading the kids. And look, let me tell you, this is not a fight against the LGBTQ community. This is not a fight against people who have and live that way. It's not that at all. It has to do everything with why a drag queen who serves or works in provocative locations and is trying to embellish a vampish woman, and it's not appropriate. These people are in adult clubs. Why are they coming to the library?
Right,
and
right.
Tony, I've had people that are not part of the faith community that have come to me thanking me. They said, thank you for speaking up. In fact, I've had drag queens, people that go to drag shows, say this is not appropriate. So it's not just the church and faith community, but it's people at large. And that's what's scary. Now, this is the other thing. What else is the city council going to pass by and run underneath the rug without us knowing?
Right. Now, there was a cost involved here because your church was targeted. You had over the weekend two suspects vandalize the church building, spraying graffiti on the walls. But you have said you're not going to go silent. They can do what they want to do, but the truth is truth, and you're going to continue to speak it.
Absolutely. I won't let that cause fear. And that's what happens. And people are scared to speak up. Again, I've mentioned people that are not part of the faith community. They are fearful to speak up because of what can happen, what can be retaliated against those. And so we have faced those vandalism things that take place in our church. I have personally been attacked. Our bishop has been attacked. And that's not going to stop us. I will say that,
Pastor Weezer, we got to leave it there. We're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us, and we'll get you back on to talk more about it. Folks, don't go away. Todd Starnes on the other side of the break. Is he still on the line?
We live in a time of great political division, and this division only intensifies during campaign season. The toxic tone in politics can be discouraging, which makes it a very real temptation for many Christians to wipe their hands of politics altogether. After all, if God is sovereign and controls the heart of the king, as Proverbs says, do we really need to get involved in the messy world of politics? Because political engagement can be divisive, shouldn't Christians abandon politics and direct their energies toward more spiritual pursuits? Christians are called to submit every area of their life to God, which includes how they engage in politics. But they are called to engage biblically. This requires Christians to be prepared to follow their political theology to its logical end and vote for candidates and parties that support clear biblical values. For more information on the Christian's call to engage in politics, visit frc.org/engage. That's frc.org/engage.
Radical abortion laws in New York, Illinois, and Vermont are challenging the sanctity of life. These laws have lifted the few existing restrictions on abortion in the name of family planning and mental health of pregnant mothers. Americans need to take a stand and defend the rights of the unborn. Family Research Council is sending Congress 90,000 baby hats as a reminder that babies should be welcomed with love and warmth, not potential danger. Supporters have already funded over 45,000 hats. We are over halfway there. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. When you take action, we'll send you an end birthday abortion certificate that will remind you to pray for born alive babies who are facing the danger of being killed outside the womb. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information. That's endbirthdayabortion.com.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C., and I would like to invite you to join my wife, Luana, and I, along with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, for FRC's Israel Tour, June the 2nd through the 12th, 2020. Whether you're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, standing in the ruins of Capernaum, or journeying up to Jerusalem, Israel is unlike any other place on earth. You'll relive the final earthly days of Jesus as you pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You look upon Golgotha and stand in the Garden Tomb. The reality of his story will come alive in a transformative way. This one-of-a-kind tour will not only allow you to explore the land of the Bible and the roots of our Christian faith, you'll also hear firsthand from some of Israel's political, defense, and religious leaders. Join us June the 2nd through June the 12th for this life-changing experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Our good friend Todd Starnes over at FoxNews.com is out with a new book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. And it's a great book. In fact, he's in D.C. this evening for a part of the book launch as he's touring the country on it. The timing of this could not be better. I mean, in fact, if you need any evidence that this is in fact happening, it's not a culture war. I think it's appropriately titled Jihad, because you look at the headlines. Take the headlines from today. This out of Duke University, the Duke Student Government Senate unanimously declined to recognize Young Life as an official Duke student group at its meeting yesterday. Now, Young Life is a national Christian organization that has branches serving middle and high school students really all over the country, all over the world. The group had requested official recognition to recruit and support a greater number of students. The reason they were rejected? Well, because of their statement of sexual misconduct. Young Life's sexual misconduct policy states that, quote, "We do not in any way wish to exclude persons who engage in sexual misconduct or who practice a homosexual lifestyle from being recipients of ministry of God's grace and mercy as expressed in Jesus Christ. We do, however, believe that such persons are not to serve as staff or volunteers in the mission and work of Young Life." Bottom line is, everyone's welcome, but not everyone can lead. For that, they refuse to recognize them. It's also, look at the headlines today on the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts now, no surprise to us, we predicted this would happen, that they may shut their doors, their tent flaps, I guess I should say, as lawsuits mount and as people withdraw, because no one really knows what the definition of the Boy Scouts are anymore. Now that they have girls, now that they have opened it up to all kinds of sexual identities, the Mormon community pulling out. They're about 20% of scouting. And there's been this steady decline in the number of scouts. And they're about to go bankrupt. Well, joining me now to talk about his new book and the reality of the cultural jihad that is raging across America is our good friend Todd Starnes. Todd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you and great to be in Washington, D.C.
Well, you're one of the few that would say it's great to be in Washington, D.C. This is almost ground zero in the cultural jihad, especially now that Nancy Pelosi is running the House with some of the stuff that's being pumped out of there. Even this week, the attacks on the First and Second Amendment are systematic.
Yeah, look, I write about all of this in Culture Jihad, and very excited because last night the president gave us a shout-out on Twitter, retweeting something that Laura Trump had written about the book. And we need all the help we can get getting the message out because this is a really provocative book. And a lot of people have said, well, what's up with the title? Why is it so provocative? Because it's a provocative time in our country, Tony, and as you just illustrated, there is an attempt to silence people of faith around this nation. You know, that Duke University situation, you know, Duke used to be what a Methodist school. Now it's gone almost pagan. You have the student government there telling Young Life, just one of the most well-respected Christian organizations in America, telling these people that they have to cast aside their religious beliefs and adopt the beliefs of the student government. And I have a line in the book that we are moving to a time where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess the LGBT agenda, or else you're not going to be able to operate in the public marketplace. And that's why I wrote Culture Jihad. This is a warning. This is a wake-up call to the church in America. We've got to wake up. We've got to get off the sidelines, and we've got to get engaged in this culture fight.
Yeah, it was interesting, Todd. I had a small group of very influential pastors that I was hosting in D.C. here today, this week, to meet with various members in Congress and in the administration just to pray and encourage them. But, you know, we had some very frank conversations about what's taking place in the culture, and they began to see some things that, you know, quite frankly, like you write about in your book, what you write about in your column, what you talk about on your radio program and your television program, is not covered in the media by and large. And so, you know, a lot of this stuff is hidden from everyday Americans, this systematic attack on faith. And one of the things you talk about, you know, it's a forced acceptance. It is this, you will affirm these lifestyle choices. And, you know, we can't do that as Christians. As Christians, we can love, and we are called to love everyone. And an expression of love is in expressing truth. We cannot, in any form or fashion, this is what's happened. They've conflated these two terms. The left wants affirmation. It's not love. They want affirmation. We can give them love, but we can't give them affirmation. And that's what they're trying to force.
And they're being quite successful at it. And that's the whole danger behind the so-called Equality Act. And this is why the 2020 presidential election and those congressional races are so vitally important. Because, Tony, had Hillary Clinton been in the White House and had the Democrats controlled the House and the Senate, I have no doubt that Equality Act would have been signed into law. And that would be legislation that would have silenced the church in America. This is where we are in the country. And thank goodness for organizations like FRC and American Family Radio and so many other organizations that are out there standing up and speaking out about these atrocities. You know, Tony, one of my favorite chapters of the book is chapter 2, and it starts off with my own fake news story. I actually wrote an Associated Press story 50 years into the future, imagining what would the country have looked like had the Equality Act been signed into law. And it is a frightening thing because I actually use real quotes from lawmakers that are on Capitol Hill right now in this story. people need to wake up, Tony, because we are in we're moving through a stealth change in this country, and it does not bode well for people of faith.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. On the phone with me is Todd Starnes, new book coming out. It's out, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. Todd's in D.C. today for a launch tonight of the book as he's on his tour. Todd, look, this the evidence is overwhelming of this. Again, it's a systematic attack on faith. And the best way to push back is to not be silent and to publicly, as you are guaranteed by the Constitution, practice your faith. And that means that's not just going to church. That's living out your faith. We need to take the light of the truth out from underneath the bushel that we put it under.
Tony, one of the things that's really distressed me has been the reaction of the book in the Christian world, and that's been really disheartening. We have had some publications. We have a publicist and all these folks that are out there promoting the book. We've had some Christian news outlets and news organizations say, no, we don't want to cover that because that book title is too controversial. We've had pastors say, no, we're not going to really – we don't want to tweet about this. We love you, Todd, but we don't want to put this out there and share this because we might get some blowback. And I'm sitting here going, you know what? This is the problem with the church. We've become lily-livered, if you will, a weak-kneed. And I can promise you this, when people read this book, they realize that that it's a book about hope. Yeah, we talk about some hard-hitting issues, Tony, but this is a book about hope, and it's not just for the Christian community. You know, we talk about culture jihad. Tony, when the Islamic radicals went back into Iraq, the first thing they did, they targeted the museums and the history of that country, literally turning the statues and the artwork into rubble. And look what's happening in this country. The culture jihadists are out there banning books like To Kill a Mockingbird, Little House on the Prairie. They're banning murals. There's a debate raging right now whether to literally paint over, whitewash a mural of George Washington. And, of course, we've seen the statues coming down, the attacks on our founding fathers. Even Jerry Seinfeld, Tony, a comedian, won't even set foot on a college campus because he's afraid of the blowback he might get from telling a joke. This is what I mean when I talk about culture jihad.
Yeah. Well, I'm disturbed, as you are, by the self-censorship that we would – and look, I don't go around poking people in the eye, but – I'm not going to be silent because someone would be offended by the truth. And I think that sometimes we need, and I do this, in some of the sound bites and this quotes that I will give out in the media and on Fox News, to get people's attention because we have to wake them up to what is happening in this country. Now, self-censorship is one thing, and it's got to stop. But there's also the systematic censorship that's taking place increasingly from social media platforms, like Facebook, that actually censored you in this book.
So I have a great team working on this book. Postal Press is my publisher, a division of Simon & Schuster, and Premier Marketing and Authors handle all my books. And so they do these Facebook Live signings, which are sort of very popular among authors. And so you basically do a Facebook Live video cast while you sign books. And so we scheduled one. I was happy to do it. And I was told by the marketing team, and again, this is a prominent marketing team that handles all sorts of the high-profile types, and that they handle the little folks like me. And they took out all these ads. They wanted to spend a lot of money on Facebook to promote this, and Facebook rejected every single one of their ads, and they said that my book violated their community standards. And Tony, opening day, we've been pre-selling the book on Amazon. On opening day, after my Fox and Friends segment, we started getting messages from people saying Amazon shut down the Kindle version of our book. I believe they've finally, it took them 2 days to work through that, but I believe that's finally been has been worked out. But to your point, yes, the censorship is there, and you know we're gonna keep fighting the good fight and figuring out ways around the censorship.
I mean that's amazing to me. I mean, Todd Starnes, FoxNews.com, huge platform, and you have Amazon, you have Facebook wanting to censor not a book that has obscenity in it, not a book that is filled with violence, but a book that tells what is happening in America and those who want to take away our freedom of speech and our freedom of religion, and they are blocking people from having that information. That should frighten every American and should underscore why they need to get books like yours and share them with their friends and talk about them.
I was so excited. A lady reached out to me. She had gotten the book early and has already finished reading it. And they're actually ordering other copies for their homeschool group. So they want students to read this book so they can get an idea of what's happening in the culture. And Tony, I think we're going to have to do that. You know, we have to start being really wise about how we get the information out there and so that people can know about these things. But I want to say this, and this is so important. The question is why? Why the attacks on religious liberty? Why do they hate people of faith so much? And I answer that question in the book. Tony, this is all about, it's all about socialism. And for socialism to take root in this country, the one thing that has to be eliminated is religious liberty. That socialism can't take root if you have religious liberty in the country. And that's why they're going after it. And after they get finished with religious liberty, they're going to come after every other one of our rights, and they've already started to do that.
You know, and a prime example of that is what Bernie Sanders, who is openly calling for socialism in America. You remember his exchange with Russ Vogt, who is now over at OMB. Remember when he had his confirmation hearing and he was a graduate of Wheaton University and had written an article some time back about, basically an article of Christian faith, what it takes to believe or to be saved, that you need to have express faith in Jesus Christ, confess your sins. And Bernie Sanders went after him viciously and then concluded his remarks by saying someone like you should not serve in our government.
Tony, I actually, in the book, we published that entire transcript of that entire back and forth, and not just Russell Vogt, but also the attacks on Amy Barrett and many of the other nominees that this White House put forward. And I think people just needed to see it for themselves. They needed to understand what's at stake here. What was it that Bernie Sanders said? He said, people, our country is not meant for people like you.
Yeah. Todd Starnes, we're out of time. You know what that means, that music in the background. Thanks so much, my friend, for joining us. And we're going to help you get this book into the hands of as many people as possible.
Thanks, Tony Perkins.
All right. Todd Starnes, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. Pick up a copy. All right, folks, out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, you've done everything you could do when you prayed, prepared, and taken your stand. You got it. Keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.